from KQED.
Well, this was the first week of class for many school kids across California. I stopped by two public schools in San Francisco this week to hear how parents and principals are feeling about the coming year. First, Groton Elementary School.
Good morning, grandstudents!
My name is Matthew Reedy. I'm the principal here at Groton Elementary.
How long have you been the principal?
It's my third year, and this year it's very exciting because for the first time in years, our budget is not smaller than it was last year. And I think that's a trend. And so we're looking forward at good times coming up for us in California education.
My name is Melissa Waters.
So what's it like the first week of school for your kids?
It's kind of a rough transition for us. They didn't do preschool, so they're struggling a little bit being away from home all day. There's a little bit of sadness, and it's exciting at the same time. You know, they're growing up, and they grow up so fast.
Ted Ridgway.
And you have who's here today?
Sophia and Dylan are in first grade.
Yeah, and what's the first week of school like?
You know, it's an interesting mix. They're excited. They get to see their old friends and meet new friends, but there's also a lot of transitional sort of separation that's difficult to overcome. You don't expect, and sometimes it doesn't show up where you expect it.
For them or you?
For both. Yeah, for both.
Across town, Hillcrest Community School. It serves the southeast part of San Francisco, neighborhoods with many low-income and immigrant families.
I'm Richard Zapian, the principal here at Hillcrest. It's an extremely diverse school. There's a few subgroups that are not here represented, but if you look around, you've got a multitude, about 6-7 different languages in any given classroom. Our teachers work 6 hours a day with the students, and they have 5 different core subjects to teach every day.
What's your name?
Rina Peñate.
And who are you here with today?
Ruby Guzman. She's a first grader. I like the fact that the parents are really united and they volunteer a lot and they help a lot of the students here and the teachers because there's been a lot of cuts. There's less teachers. They have to work harder. And for this year, I hope there's more programs so the parents could help their kids develop more.
My name's Vicky Wall. My son, he's attending second grade right now. I noticed that there sometimes, because of the budget problem, there's some staff cut because of that problem. So I hope the government going to support our school more, so they you know, give the school system more money, so we can have the necessary programs.
Students and principals at Groton Elementary and Hillcrest Community School in San Francisco this week. Well, more money is just one way California's K-12 public schools will be different this year. Some big changes are coming to the classroom. And here to talk about it is our education reporter, Anna Tentakulis. Anna, let's start with the money. The education budget, if you would, compare this year, not just with last year, but the last 4 or 5 years here in California.
Well, I have to say the school system in California is kind of breathing this collective sigh of relief. Over the past 5 years, there's been about $20 billion in state funding cuts. That's gigantic. And so what's changing this year is that Proposition 30 was passed. Now, this, if you remember, this was a tax initiative that raises the sales and income tax on California's. And this year, it's bringing in about $2.5 billion more than we had last year. It doesn't fill all the voids, but that is new money getting pumped into education. And it also stopped more cuts.
More bleeding.
More bleeding, which really would have, I mean, schools have already been devastated. It would have really, really gotten so much worse.
So it doesn't restore everything, but at least begins to put back some of the things that have been cut. Now, Governor Brown, over the past several years, I guess, has made a big deal out of wanting to change the funding formula for schools, not just more money, but a different way of divvying it up. And that is being implemented, at least beginning this year. Describe those changes and how it's going to affect schools.
Along with Prop 30, not only is it bringing more money, it's tossing out the school funding mechanism in California. So we had all these old funding rules. Those are out the window now. Prop 30 brings in an entirely new way. And basically what it does is it gives more money to all schools. But those districts with large numbers of what they call at-risk students, so low-income students, English language learners, and foster kids, districts with high proportions of these students will get even more money on top of that. at the same time, this new funding mechanism breaks free of all the funding mandates schools have had to follow.
And they hate those.
And they hate those. They were really, it tied school districts up in knots. So, for example, if they wanted to spend their money on tutors in the classroom, they couldn't in certain situations. They had to spend it on dropout prevention. So they really didn't have a say in how they could spend those dollars. That also changes with this new approach. So districts have an amazing amount of freedom, and school boards will now be calling the shots in terms of where they want that money to be spent. And I spoke with Michael Kirst, who's the president of the State Board of Education, about this. And I asked him, you know, this is an amazing amount of spending power in the hands of these elected school board members. Is that a good or bad thing? And he says, you know, in the end, it's the local community that knows what the students need. And so this is what he had to say.
Well, first of all, it's a lot easier for parents to be involved locally than is come up to Sacramento. Second of all, the bill specifies various stages of parent involvement. And so they will have a lot of chances to be involved.
And Anna, with all these changes to the funding formulas and the local control, is there any sense of like winners and losers? You know, are there certain kinds of districts, certain parts of the state that are going to benefit from these changes or perhaps be hurt by them or just, you know, see the biggest impact in terms of changes?
Right. So those districts that have, as I mentioned, these kind of super majority of at-risk students are really going to benefit. So when we look at Los Angeles Unified, Long Beach Unified, Fresno, those are the big winners in all of this. So take, for example, Fresno. There's 92% of their students qualify as these at-risk students. So they're going to get roughly $600 more per student than they did last year.
The other big change this year, Anna, is how teachers are going to be teaching. How big a transition is that going to be for teachers? And describe what those changes are going to be.
So right now we have these very prescriptive standards and these high stakes tests that are connected with the standards. All of this gets thrown out of the window and we introduce what's called Common Core standards. Now, a lot of people don't understand what this is. Parents still don't get it. And even some teachers are grappling with it. But essentially what it does is it substitutes rote learning and memorization and really emphasizes verbal skills, analytical skills. So in math, you're not going to be just doing equations. You're going to be doing word problems. You're going to be doing a lot more hands-on activities to help you learn. And I visited a school in Elk Grove Unified, which is the fifth largest school district in the state.
Up near Sacramento.
Near Sacramento. And the school there is West Elementary. They're piloting already a Common Core kind of math program called Go Math. And this is what Trinity Haynes had to say. She's a sixth grade student, and she's trying to get her mind around this new curriculum.
Like, I'm really bad at word problems, and they're now all of the problems are word problems. So it's harder, but it helps me learn more how to understand word problems and to pick out the different information that I need.
So she does see some positive in there, but there's a lot more homework that goes along with this as well. And teachers, you know, some of them like this approach because they get to be more creative in the classroom and they get to think more independently. But others, like I said, don't feel like they can fully grasp what the goal here is with each standard. And I should say, the Common Core Standards is this national effort, this national movement. There's 44 other states that have signed on. The idea is to get students across the country learning the same thing at the same pace. And in that way, they can make comparisons to see whether or not, you know, students, public school students in the U.S. are actually learning.
So, Anna, to kind of sum it up, good news, lots more money this year. Bad news, or at least the tricky part of it, is implementing all these changes kind of all of a sudden.
Right. The bottom line is morale is up. There's not a huge budget axe over schools, and pink slips are down, and schools will start to slowly bring back programs that were successful. However, the anxiety now shifts to this entirely new way of teaching and whether or not they can spend all that new money in effective ways.
All right. Anna Tintoklis, our education reporter. Anna, thanks a lot.
Thank you.